Okay.
Well, but, you know, then I was like, the more the merrier.
What are you calling in other than partying with the Haitians? That's a Clueless reference. It kind of came out a little bit funny.
Well, it did. It came out questionable, but it's definitely a Clueless reference.
I'm sorry. I should have said Haitians.
Haitians.
I feel like we would have really known this point.
Totally party with the Haitians. I would just like to say that I definitely memorized that as like a monologue to read at auditions when I was a kid, just to give you some context for who I am as a person.
It was a good share Horowitz moment.
Need I remind you that it does not say
RSVP
on the Statue of Liberty.
You do. Sometimes you do need to remind me.
This episode of Dear Jessamine has profanity, sex talk, weed smoking, and a bunch of other shit that's just not for everybody. You also may not agree with the stuff we say or how we say it.
And we think that's great. We're recording today from stolen Ohlone land.
We promote cannabis medicine to people over 21. If you're not 21, come back when you are.
What I want to do to myself is selfish in the best way.
My favorite. Hey, Jessamine.
Hey, Ash. Why are you sort of smiling immediately?
Well, it was just funny because the other day you were saying how it seems funny to like greet each other at the beginning of the show when we've been sitting here for...
Oh, totally. I do enjoy it as like a way that we start the show. It's like an invocation.
Yeah, I don't really know how else to...
I don't know if there is another way.
Hey, everybody. Say that.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
What's good, y'all?
That's my thing.
It is. All right. I'm also smiley because we're not in a knockdown drag-out fight at the commencement. Oh, there's still time.
Well, it's already happened this morning. You remember this morning? Around 8 a.m. this morning, I was like, oh, wow, it's Wednesday. Mm. We're having a fight.
Yeah.
Got it.
I feel like that was me at 4:30 yesterday when we were about to do a photo shoot.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I was like, yesterday. Oh, it's time to shoot photograph of Jessamine. It must be time to,
it's time to
combat.
Fight night, yeah. I love Reese. On the topic of white women we love, this is a Sex and Titty episode.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, Ash, what are you bringing in?
Did we even talk about what, Ash, what are you bringing in?
I wanted to be the white woman you loved. Okay. I'm bringing in... I think I'm bringing in like a pretty square discernment. I want discernment. I want to be able to hear things, take a moment, skip a beat, take a breath, think about it. Say, I would like to take more time with that if that's what comes next. I feel very rushed to respond in general, not just verbally to people, but to the world, to the sun when it comes up. I feel like I need to go do things now immediately. Let's happen, you know, whatever. So I don't need it. I'm not invested in that, I should say. So I'd like to bring in just that kind of just the time and practice of discernment, especially in interaction.
How
about
that.
You?
I want some of that too. I would love discernment. Listening instead of responding. Something that I've noticed just over the last several years is that I have a habit of responding in my head before I actually fully listen to someone or receive what they're saying.
I do.
And it, I think now more than ever, I only say now more than ever because like now is the present moment, but now more than ever, it feels like it would behoove me to listen more than I am speaking, not necessarily speaking, but listen more than I'm responding or like think needing to respond and not needing to know everything is really helpful. Just like letting it be okay to not know everything. That's what I'm calling in for sure. That is what I am calling in. I'm calling in not needing to know every fucking thing, not needing to be Hermione Granger. Letting the Virgo rising breathe.
I want to call that in too.
Can we talk about Sex and the Titty now?
I would love that.
All Okay, so we finished in Just Like That.
Which, overall impression, Jessamyn Stanley. Ooh,
can we give grades too?
Fuck yeah.
What kind? Like, scale of A through F.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
For everything that we talk about, let's try to give a grade.
Beautiful.
I'm just making this up.
I love it. I'm here for it.
Okay. So, you said overall impressions?
Yeah. Like, okay, we just finished that season. What do you think?
Okay. I would give them overall grade. I would give them an A. Like, I think the petty version of me, or like the version of me that wants to find a fault, would give them an A minus.
For what?
Just for, and see, this is why I wouldn't give an A minus, because it is coming from a like bullshit place. It's, at least it feels bullshit in my mind. It's like, you're just looking for something to be mad at, or like, you don't, the part of me that wants to give the minus is like, well, here are some things that, you know, weren't absolutely perfect, or like, you really should have thought twice about that, or maybe we should consider everyone's voice. Like, those parts of me are like, yeah, A minus, because there were some things that are like,
what's the grade? Is the grade on like quality filmmaking, or is the grade on like adherence to like societal pressure?
My grade is on adherence to the canon. Like, where are we taking these characters? I respect this series. I think they've done really important work. There's so many different layers and levels to the storytelling and to the franchise. And my score is based on how well did they add to the canon. And then it's just like smaller things after that, just like character development, filmmaking, soundtrack, hope for the future. I don't know, shit like that. What about you? Overall impression.
I loved it. I struggle with grades because it's like, if you did this, it would have been better.
Pass, fail.
Pass. Hard pass. I mean, in that different way. In the extra pass. Pass A plus. Pass. Not like I would pass it. But I think the reason that I liked it is because it was captivating. It was interesting. It made me want to watch more. I was invested in the characters. I was invested in their lives and what they were going to learn at the end of an episode. Or what they were going to teach me not to do. But all of that was that I see myself in them, at least in some way or another. And that's the only grade I could ever give any piece of media, honestly, is like, did you make it in such a way that I could see myself in it? Ooh, golly. I want to write that down because I feel like that's what I was trying to say to you earlier this morning. Not to go there, but I was trying to just be like, do you see me in what you're doing at all? Like, can you see yourself in a piece of media? Do you think somebody is seeing you in the thing they're making? So it makes me wonder. Well, it doesn't make me wonder, but I say good grade because I was invested in the characters enough to realize the ways that I see myself in them. And I don't think that everybody is able to reveal a person or a character or a universe or an idea to that degree. And I think I have a lot less of a familiarity with the original show than you do. And so I can't really grade it against that. But I will say what I do know of Sex and the City, and Just Like That did a great job of aging the characters from where I last left them. And what I mean by that is, in terms of like how they would behave now superficially, like what they would dress like, where they would live, whatever, that all seems to track. Except for, I don't know how Carrie afforded the apartment in the beginning, and I don't know why she would live there as a millionaire, but all of these things, that doesn't need to make sense exactly to me. Because she's quirky. I think that's the point, is that they're like, she does things that you don't expect. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, so that tracks that Carrie's doing something I wouldn't necessarily expect her to do. But that's all I can go off of with that. But I agree with you to that end.
Did it make you want to watch more of the show? Yeah. Like, go back and finish rewatching this show.
Although I will say, as a person who didn't, I don't feel like I must.
Yeah, that's
like
exactly,
I don't feel like I don't understand what's going on or something like that. So in that way, I think this show did a great job too.
Yeah, that I think they did a great job because you really don't need to have ever watched the show before at all to be into it. That's really hard to do. I would think really like challenging.
Yeah, it's like how to be. It's like being deep and shallow at the same time. Shallow enough to be picked up on by somebody who's not already invested, and deep enough to like stimulate the people who are.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, I think that's a deep A for me.
Yeah, I feel like they universalized the characters in a way that they may not have been as universal in the past, actually. I feel like the audience for And Just Like That feels a little bit more diverse than the Sex and the City audience to me, now that I'm really thinking about it.
Although, you know what I learned, actually, is like,
I could have more to do with Instagram, though.
Totally.
So, yeah.
I've known people who are super into Sex and the City my whole life, and I didn't know that they were into it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a funny thing I've learned this go around.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It has been I think that if the show had not been so good, that you would not know as many people being into it. I think the people were like, okay, I can come out as a Sex and the City fan now.
Right.
Like, because the show was it was problematic categorically by the call out culture fucking standards that we live by now, which.
It was problematic by the, like, do I really want to watch this right now? Standards back then, too.
I guess. I mean, everybody likes to act different. I don't know.
I'm painting
with a broad brush.
I think that actually what you're saying is really important. Everybody tries to act like back then they would have said something.
Exactly. And I'm like, you literally didn't. So why are you acting now?
That's
so, like, it seemed like at the time everybody was chilling. And at the time, it was very controversial and very boundary breaking. But when you look back, it's like, wow, there are a lot of areas where this is lacking, and there are a lot of prejudices that are obvious, and that would obviously change with time. Mm-hmm. I think we have to be more patient with one another
at all times.
Slightly. just even a little bit.
Yeah.
But there were a couple of things that we were going to talk about specifically.
Yeah.
Hello, friends and fam. Don't worry, I'm not going to subject it to my stand-up. It's much worse.
I don't know how much I need to talk about Che Diaz. I felt like I needed to, but I don't know how much
I
really
need to
say.
We talked a lot about Che last week.
Yeah, or like in general.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that character. I think the critique is whatever.
What's the critique?
The Che is like not a great representative of queer, of non-binary trans people and trans people. Is that right? Am I wrong?
Okay, things I've seen are that, like, not every trans or non-binary person is an activist. Like,
oh, totally.
They don't owe you the performance of their gender in any way. I'm like, yeah, but some are activists. I'm just like, hold on. Does that mean what could they be? A chef? Not all trans people are chefs.
Yeah.
I just don't get that. I'm kind of like, okay, so do you need to make a show? Should we make you a podcast?
Does this mean we can't enjoy Sarah Ramirez? I'm confused.
Then there was that article, that like fake article or whatever that came out that was like, Che Diaz causes sexual harassment or something, right? Uh-huh. It wasn't that. I don't remember.
The Hollywood Reporter.
It's just so funny. Because I at first was like, wait a second. What? And I was like, oh, Che Diaz, that's a character, not an actor, right?
But I was like, am I being incepted?
And then you exactly. No, I feel like there is so much fun and richness in the like social media like spin. Mm-hmm. Like you had to be in a really intense fandom chat bot or something on the L Word the first round. You know what I mean? Like if you were that into a show or like freaking Rocky Horror, I feel like you had to show up at a place dressed up in order to show that you were into it. Whereas
but that
I feel like,
only even came with time. Like right. Rocky Horror was a flop when it first came out in theaters and it became like a cult favorite. Yeah.
But within the age of social media, I'm just recognizing the ways that we can have these interactions with each other and share our like for something without like completely changing our lives in order to do it. And I just think that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And in this way, you know, there's this fan fiction basically about, you know what I mean? Like, unless that's real. Is that a storyline I missed on the show? Was I asleep? Did Che do something fucked up at the podcast?
No, it's probably somebody, one of these hoes out here starting drama. Che, talking about Che. I was an intern on the show and Che. I mean, I could be wrong. I'm sure that there's somebody going to accuse me of fucking victim blaming on Che Diaz, a fictional character.
Oh, I thought you were going to say accuse you of sexual harassment in the workplace.
Oh, Lord. Are you going to accuse me of sexual harassment
I do
in the
every
workplace?
Day.
Man, that's the complicated part about being in a relationship with you.
It is.
I need to figure out how to do that better. Whatever. We'll figure it out. I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Do you feel sexually harassed in the workplace?
Not in ways I don't like.
No, this is an issue. Okay, we'll talk about it later.
It is funny that this show that we're doing, which is also sort of like my journal in a weird way, is the work. But we talk about sex all the time on the show. Where's the line? That's why the nuance is so crucial, I think.
Man, why white men out here literally sexually harassing people all day long and now I'm out here on this bullshit on this podcast? This is annoying.
Anyway.
Anyway.
Che. Yeah, I think that Che, if nothing else, Che got people talking about the show. I guess that's sort of what I mean.
Yeah.
Che the character.
Yeah. My thing that I wanted to bring up here was that I think the Che and Miranda storyline was unrealistic and it was confusing to me at points.
Rambo! Carrie said you were all heading home.
Well, I was, but I kept hearing your voice in my head saying, change. I am just like this little robot going to my house every night. Would it kill me to mix things up a little bit?
But it did. When I submitted to it being like Miranda's fantasy or like the 50-year-old woman coming out who, like, the fantasy of what would happen. It's like, oh my God, this person is so attracted to the meanest version of me. And now, like, they love everything that I'm doing. And, like,
I feel like my life has this meaning again. This is so great.
Literally,
sex
my husband
has never felt so good.
Literally.
It's a great excuse to get rid of this guy.
Kick his ass to the curb. He's done. I don't want to see him again ever. Do not
have no feelings
me
about that
again. And he should be fine. We remember that, I don't know what his problem is.
Speaking of social media, I love that we reference this all the time, but I kind of want to share it. Do you remember that TikTok that woman was like?
No, that's what I was thinking.
Late
of.
Coming out. What did she say?
She was like, I just came out. And she was like,
visibly 50s.
Yeah. And she was like, what I need to tell you is that after I tasted the motherfucking rainbow, I told my husband, do not touch me.
Do not ever touch me again. She said, and that's the power of the motherfucking rainbow.
I'm like, I feel you though. But that's what they were giving Miranda, was like, mm-hmm. you, like, this person is so, this was my issue. And actually, it could have been the only, this could have been the singular change to the storyline. When Miranda went to Ohio or Indiana or wherever the fuck she met up with Che,
Cleveland.
There is no way that she rolled up there and Che did not have somebody else
in their bed.
I mean, I just don't think, I feel like Che was at the comedy club and there was somebody else in the audience who like lives in Cleveland or something. And like, they've been fucking. And then there's like an awkward moment at the bar where Che is like, cool. So Miranda, did you get a hotel? Because I didn't get a hotel because I'm staying at this person's house. Like the fact that that didn't happen, I was
unrealistic.
This storyline is hard for me now. I'm like,
no, I feel like we ended on Miranda going to the airport to visit Che, and then we opened on them at brunch.
Like they're somehow getting married now. Yeah, no, they're at parade, the march.
Is that right?
So I don't know what was going on, man, but I was like, Miranda.
I feel like I suck at this portion of the show. I feel like your memory is like a steel trap. You know every detail about everything you've ever seen.
You remember stuff?
I can chip in with mini facts, too, if you guys need.
What's that? What? Is there someone here? What?
Is that God?
Oh, my God. It's a mystery. God, voice. It's literally God.
It's God. Thank God. Thank you, God.
I had messaged you guys in the chat that originally in the scripts, Miranda was supposed to fall in love with Professor Nia Wallace, played by Karen Pittman. But they decided that it was too much for like these two straight characters to like suddenly find out that they were queer.
Both queer for each other.
Damn.
So that was the unrealistic thing that they chose to
God, you had incredible wisdom to offer on that.
I want to keep, I hope God jumps back in with literally, other facts as we move literally through this practice.
So Professor Nia Wallace, that would have made I see where they were
zero
going with
sense.
That.
Wait, far less
really?
Sense.
First of all, Professor Nia Wallace is 100% queer.
112% queer.
Literally. Professor Nia Wallace's husband was also queer.
Kind of gay a little bit. Was
definitely. And I feel like, man, damn, if they'd had like 20 episodes, even like 12 to 15, I feel like they still could have swung that storyline in there with the Miranda. Because,
but you know, Sex and the City was such a, was it gay? It was like gay men, straight women, right? Mm-hmm. That watched that show. So mm-hmm. I feel like you can't take all the straight women away. I feel like when you do more than one of anything, of anything. People are like, hey, everybody's gay now? Everybody?
Yes.
And you're like, two people?
Precisely.
Two people. That's not everybody.
No, everybody's gay. I would like to go back and revisit the first point.
Yeah. Anyway.
Wow, I love that.
I hope Professor Nia Wallace is gay.
Personally. I hope that's coming soon. I felt like they were trying to just finish the show.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like they were like, what if we don't get a season two? So let's just do everything.
Yeah. Well, that was, I mean, I also feel like any reboot at this time is like so full of nostalgia for people that it's like, we're just giving you a serotonin boost anyway. Like, totally. We don't want to fuck this up for you. You know, like, we know how much it means to you. Babysitter's Club. Oh, what other reboots?
Babysitter's Club reboot is so fire.
It is really good. But there's obviously dedication in it that's like, no, we feel you. We want it to be good too.
Yeah.
So I can see that in this.
So we'll just like make this bit good.
Super good. Yeah. And then we'll finalize it. So you're not left wanting.
Yeah, I get where they're coming from with that.
That's but just me.
I would like for them to give that to Professor Nia Wallace. I think that she should
offer her that opportunity.
Yeah, I think she should have the opportunity to be gay.
Nicole Parker could be gay again. She's tried it. She's been there. Ari Parker. What did I call her?
Nicole Ari Parker and Charlotte should definitely. That's, man, I'm gonna write that fan fiction.
I feel like we're getting off topic with our.
What? No, these are straight the things that would have been. That was Nicole Ari Parker was one of my most favorite characters. Her and Seema, favorites.
I love that. I think the additions have been that. Okay, A plus.
Also, the
new
guy,
friends.
The new friends were amazing. All of them. All
so good. I don't know what to say.
I enjoyed Carrie and Che's coworker. The guy who was always in some shit, who invited them to the surprise wedding.
I cannot tell you how much folks like that are a struggle for me to be around.
Why? Do they remind you of yourself?
Yeah, I had a feeling you were going to say that.
No, I'm just like...
I think there is an obnoxiousness that I was that was sort of beaten out of me as a young person, maybe, that like I associate with getting in trouble or being ashamed of myself, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, there's definitely some like, it's uncomfortable to be around people who are like loud and wild and raunchy and obnoxious. Mm. And what's his name, that character? Kylie, do you know? God, excuse me?
The actor's name is Bobby Lee. Right. His character is Jackie Nee, which is...
Jackie
Nee. Okay.
That's right.
Can we talk about Charlotte?
Please.
Charlotte York, McDougal Goldenblatt.
She kept McDougal?
No, but that's just what I like to call her. Her full name.
It's funny. I do that with my mom sometimes. Name. Say all the names of men she's married, yeah. I get the instinct, is what I'm saying.
That's such a way to troll. Charlotte York McDougal Goldenblatt.
This is not over. There are 300 people, 130 halas, a rainbow high, and a trans rabbi.
She had, I thought, one of the most realistic character developments on the show. This is a major spoiler alert, but...
I did not come all this way and do all this work to have it end like this. Someone is going out there and getting they mitzvahed today. Baruch atah Adonai.
Charlotte is bat mitzvah at the end of the show.
Ooh.
And that was like the perfect evolution, I thought, of Charlotte.
Did she convert to Judaism?
She did in like the fifth or sixth season of the show.
But she didn't have a bat mitzvah?
No. I don't think so.
Interesting. I wonder.
Is that a thing? Is that how you...
I've known people to, have a later in life, like to convert to Judaism later in life and have a...
But is the bat mitzvah separate from the conversion?
You know, I don't know what people practice. I just know what
I'm
I've
curious.
Seen people do.
Anybody who knows, I don't know. All I know is that Charlotte got bat mitzvah and just like that. And it seemed accurate for that way that she behaves. I was like, yeah.
Why?
That makes sense.
What is a person who gets bat mitzvah?
No, because she wanted to have a bat mitzvah. Like, she wanted Rock to have a bat mitzvah because she felt like that was the way she could have a bat mitzvah. But it's like, that's how I feel like when people's parents are obsessed with their weddings or their children and shit. I'm like, you want to have a wedding. You want to have another kid. And so this is your baby doll doing it.
Mm.
And I appreciate Rock. Is a real one. Rock was one of my most favorite characters of the show because Rock was like at the bat mitzvah wearing a fucking
Talking Heads, what is his name? David Byrne ass suit. Fucking, if you've seen Stop Making Sense, the Talking Heads concert film, you know what I'm talking about. Fucking Rock Goldenblatt is out here wearing this David Byrne suit talking about, no, I'm not going to do this bat mitzvah. Now. Wait, no, it's the day mitzvah is what they're calling it. They're like, I'm not getting day mitzvah. And Charlotte was like, somebody is gonna have this party. I just did all this, and it was the party Charlotte wanted anyway. So, yeah. Like, let her have her party, and like, that's how I wish people did that more with weddings. Honestly, that like, especially because it just becomes about all this shit that it's like, it's not even about love or about a relationship. It's about one, maybe two people having their dream day. And it's like, just let it be that. Let them have a big fun party.
Well, I think it is interesting, though. It does make me think about the ways in which like identity through parenthood also requires the marking of progress, right? That you have kept something alive for 13 years, bruh. That is your party. You know what I mean?
No, exactly.
Long enough that they could like, whatever, get married, make a child, whatever your goals are and your lineage, you know, take over the business, own property, whatever the thing is. They're like, wow, okay, I really did that shit. Okay, this kid could like do this, you know? I feel like that is a party for the parents. Like that is a celebration, like a moment. And I think it often goes, like you're saying, without being recognized. And so Charlotte being able to recognize like, no, I did this shit. Not only have I kept these people alive and thriving and like geniuses and like doing their own thing and being artists, but I also like, through this really badass party, I feel like I should be recognized.
And I memorized all this stuff and like, and I believe in like, I would like, I am a woman today. Like, I would like to say that in front of people. And I'm like, yeah, do your thing. Like, so I appreciate that. Anyway, I also love Charlotte's children so much. I think Lily was also my favorite character. I had a lot of favorite characters. Love Lily. Love her thotting on Instagram, on a secret Instagram account. And then Charlotte tried to read her. And then Lily was like, you know, actually, I'm leaving. I'm not having lunch with you anymore. I'm leaving. I was like, what the fuck? Do you remember this?
I certainly do. I'm trying to think about like when it feels like, yeah, the kid had this like had more integrity or something than Charlotte. It was like, I'm not doing anything to you. Like, you're good. Like, do you know what I mean? And I feel like Charlotte trying to be like sneaky and deceptive. I just feel like they're really reading and presenting Lily's generation as accurately as I can discern from where I am. Like very like honest, straightforward, like less shame. I just feel like there's so much shame. We've been hooking up with people of different ages and like noticing similarities between people in different age groups. And it's like, there is this like person born in the mid 70s, in the 70s, the 70s kind of thing that happens. I think sometimes it's like at this stage, there's like this built up, I don't know, resentment or like frustration with like what feels like entitlement. And I feel like 9/11 happened to us early enough that we were like, we could all just be wiped out in a second. Like, we don't have to be so precious and like entitled about everything. And then I feel like people younger than us even are like, no, yeah, this, we don't, we just have to be nice to each other. Like, and I know that's not like, it's a broad brush again, like you were saying, but
in general,
it feels like the dumb shit is like sort of left out a lot of times with the young folks. They're like, do you know where a panda? I just feel like there's so much like keeping it real, which includes humor and not being too precious and taking yourself too seriously, doing cringe things on the internet. You know, just it's all kind of like, why not? Like, who cares? Okay, next, Miranda's development. We spoke to this a little bit.
I want you to be happy, but I don't know what else you think is out there.
I've met someone.
I just want to say, I think this is finally my opportunity to present this idea, and I hope God jumps in, that Kylie and I were on a meeting talking about how on the internet we've both seen, or well, she mostly saw more than I did, about how people were like trying to stick up for Steve and being like, Steve doesn't deserve to be treated like this. Miranda's cheating on Steve. These things are bad. Miranda's bad. The idea of Che is bad. Steve is a good guy. He deserves better. And I was like, isn't Steve the person in the relationship who's like ultimately like not giving a fuck enough to change what he's doing romantically or erotically with and for Miranda so that she's taken care of? Isn't Steve kind of being a little bit of a scrub? Like, isn't Steve like not doing what it takes to like keep Miranda interested. Is that his responsibility? So I posed the question to Kylie, and I'm posing it to you now, Jessamine. Is it Steve's responsibility to be a better lover if he doesn't want Che to fuck Miranda in Carrie's kitchen?
I don't think that Miranda wanting to fuck Che has anything to do with Steve, quite frankly.
No, it doesn't. But people going to bat for Steve brings this part up for me.
Man, what do you think?
I think that there are so many different components to a romantic or sexual relationship. And the way, I mean, you talk about it all the time that like sex doesn't equal love and love doesn't equal sex. And they can love each other, Steve and Miranda. But if Steve wants Miranda to not be having sex with people like Che or anyone else, Steve would have to give a fuck enough to at least ask Miranda what she is interested in sexually. You know what I'm saying? Because they did this thing where they showed Steve trying to fuck Miranda from behind in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a different experience than the experience Miranda had when Che was fucking her from behind in the kitchen. So this is what everybody's doing, I think. It's like, pobrecito. And I'm like, I'm sure there's somebody who just wants to cuddle. Miranda wants to get fucked. Mm-hmm. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, and I think that she, I don't like how mutually exclusive it has to be. Like, obviously, I believe that Miranda should come home to Steve when Che's traveling / moves to LA. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like, why can't that all come together? Like, why can't they still have ice cream? Do you know what I mean? Mm. And Miranda gets dicked down by Che. I just don't get
mutual
exclusivity.
It just, that was another part that I'm like, man, y'all, I wish that they'd had maybe just a couple more episodes to show how Steve is literally fine. Miranda right. is literally fine. Che can pick up the good ice cream from Jenny's on the way over for ice cream night, and then they could probably all three sleep in the same bed.
Because who's fucking every night as grown-ups?
But Steve was not trying to fuck. So like, I'm like, I feel like everybody could get on the same page with that. And that's what was so sad is that I'm like, Jesus. So Steve and Miranda, who love each other,
right.
and then they have and to work make well it this together. Whole thing. They work well together. Right. They've done an incredible job raising this child. Like,
so good.
They persevered through so much, and now they're gonna break up over some Miranda thinks she's gay shit. It's like, dumb. What? I'm like, man, sometimes you're gay and sometimes you have a husband. It happens. A like, the hoes are out here. It. It's fine. Like, you can't.
That was, in fact, whatever. I think that would have been a much, much more realistic storyline.
I hope that's coming in season two, please.
Like, now hear this.
Yeah, I'm like, man, they can still be together because they're, okay, so Che and Miranda in LA, Che's show is not getting picked up. So Miranda might be back in New York pretty quick and they could be over. But even if they're not, and maybe Che comes back a little bit humbled, and then they can all explore what it is
on the sectional
to be in partnership on the sectional with fucking, what were they putting on the ice cream?
Also, Brady's gone.
Yeah, Brady's back.
I feel like there's a guest room. Come on, people. Louisa, this is what empty nesting is all about. Yeah, that bitch out of there.
Literally,
I do not
Che,
like.
You know you want an apartment at their house.
I want this to be recorded for posterity. If my child has a disrespectful partner coming up in my fucking house, telling me or you anything about anything.
Yeah, Louisa was not.
I don't prefer
a
that. I think that is
Louisa, why don't you get your ice cream and go back upstairs?
Why don't you go to your house? Why don't you get an apartment? How are you living at your boy? I just don't. Maybe it's because I feel uncomfortable living at my boyfriend's mom's house. But
I'm retroactively jealous that I didn't get to live at my boyfriend's mom's house when I was in high school.
Didn't you have
a girlfriend stay at my high school girlfriend's house?
Didn't she stay at your house?
Yeah, but I feel like I spent a lot of time at her parents' house, actually, now that I really think about it.
See?
But, we weren't. Louisa was out here wearing a t-shirt. Louisa threw an ice cream night in a t-shirt and tube socks. I feel like I had to get dressed. What the fuck?
So interesting dynamics. Man, yeah, the closest I came Hops. To, I was in my mid-20s. I dated somebody who was in college, and I would go home and hang out with her parents with her.
Hell yeah.
Her racist ass fucking chief of police dad ass motherfucker.
You know who you are.
And then I had to quit that relationship. So it happens. Anyway.
I had sex with Che at Carrie's apartment after the surgery when we thought she was asleep.
What?
You had a huge reaction.
Of course I had a huge reaction. You knew? Say something.
something. Cheese?
Our last question is, is Carrie a good friend? And what are your responsibilities as a friend? Where did this question come from?
Kylie, do you remember why we were wondering if Carrie was a good friend?
I think we might have been talking about like her character development throughout the original show and on Just Like That. And just her response to, I guess, Miranda and Steve's relationship as well as Miranda's alcohol issue.
Ooh, we didn't even talk about that. That's right.
But like she like is, or Charlotte brings it up to her and Carrie's very much hands off. Very much in her face is like literally not my issue.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, yeah.
So we started talking about it, Kylie, when we were talking about when Steve was talking to Carrie. Steve was like, Carrie, how long has this been going on with Miranda and Che? Like, why didn't you tell me? And Carrie's like, not my problem, dude. And so that's why that's what I remember about why we talked about it. And I feel like all of those points are really good ones. But the question is, and so it's interesting too, because I feel like I was talking to you about it, Jessamine, and you were like, I feel like the best kind of friend basically is like not trying to manipulate and fuck with your shit. Mm-hmm. Like your lessons are your lessons. My lessons are mine. Mm-hmm. If you're hurting, I want to be there for you, but not in a way that takes away from what your process is. Basically, this is what I interpret as how you don't get involved. Mm-hmm. And Kylie, what do you think about all that?
I really try to like learn about boundaries, especially like when it comes to my boundaries and how much I can actually be helpful to someone versus like what someone actually needs. And I'm horrible at asking for what I need. So it's really difficult for me to try to figure out like what is my responsibility here as a friend.
Yeah. Okay. So I feel like I make up the third portion of this, which is that I have historically been extremely overactive I love to give advice. I love to decide that I know for people what they should do. And so my experience of Carrie telling Steve, who's asking like, who's hurting and asking like, what should I have done? Basically like what's going on? Like, why is this happening? And she's like, I got nothing for you, bud. In that moment, I'd be like, let's sit down and have a whole fucking counseling session for hours if you'd like. Why? What do I know? You know what I'm saying? So I'm critiquing my practice of that, although I do understand that it comes from like a sense of leadership and like caretaking, basically. I find in what Carrie did was like respectful. She's like, I'm not going to tell you about your life. Like, I'm not going to tell you should know. Like, why don't you? Also, I'm not going to betray Miranda's trust. She's told me things that would influence how I'm talking to you. So there's this piece of me that's like, Carrie, that's full of integrity. But then there's this other piece of me that's like, Carrie, you can see he's hurting and you don't have anything to offer him at all. You have no like, hey, bud, it happens. Like, it's not your fault. Like, you know, maybe she said something like that, but it just felt very cold in a way that I was like, that's where I would question if somebody's a good friend, is if what they offer is something very cold.
But my thing is like, why try to be involved in other people's business, frankly? Like, I feel like when the Carrie and Steve thing, they've known each other for a long time. They've known each other through a lot of shit. And Carrie is Miranda's friend first. She's like, I know you, Steve. We are friends. Right. But like, I am Carrie's friend, or I'm Miranda's friend. And I feel like Carrie was like, I don't really know what you want for me to tell you. Yeah. Like, obviously I introduced them. Like, we met, like,
right.
Obviously all these things are there. Like, what kind of healing are you looking for from me? And like, I don't, and she's doing it in this, like, you know, which like I personally really related to. And I feel like I probably would behave that way.
Do you remember when we went to Red Lobster? In the very beginning of us.
Yes, I do remember.
Meeting each other.
Yes.
Because I was like, Jessamine, did you know that our friend is cheating on our other friend?
And I was like, yes. You were like, we should do something about it. And I was like, no.
Don't ever, ever involve me in anything like what you're talking about, you said. I will never. do anything like what you're talking about. I don't. Here I was like, okay, what are we going to do? No, what's the plan?
You went for a fucking brainstorming session. You were like, okay, totally. Let me pull up a chart and how can we do this? Right. No, I'm anti that in general. And my thing with care, the alcoholism question, though, mm-hmm. was really interesting to me. And I'm so glad that that has been brought up.
Me too. Thank you, God.
That is a really hard thing to do, I think, personally. Like, as someone who drinks alcohol, who notices the way that I behave when I'm drinking alcohol, and then also have friends who drink alcohol, mm-hmm. and we all are in it together. So this is where I feel like Carrie is arriving, that she's like, first of all, when Charlotte brought it up to her that, like, I've seen some things that are concerning me about Miranda's mm-hmm. drinking, and like, I want to share them with you and maybe we should do something about it. Carrie was like, I have not seen the things that you're talking about, first mm-hmm. of all. So like, you're talking about you found mini bottles of vodka in her bag. Like, did I see that? No, I didn't. And you're also melodramatic frequently. Mm-hmm. So like, now I feel like maybe she was, who knows what was going on with her that day? I don't know. Like, how am I going to critique that? And like, then she's like, Carrie didn't say anything to Miranda about that shit until Carrie had her own urine on her whenever she was in the bed with her hip busted up mm-hmm. and Miranda was getting fucked by Che in the kitchen. And messy. Miranda, messy as fuck, is being loud as fuck, cannot hear that Carrie needs help, is peeing into a Snapple bottle and then accidentally threw the pee on herself. That was when Carrie was like, you have me fucked up and I don't know what your deal is. I don't know. Maybe you do have a drinking problem. Damn. I'm not sure. She never said that shit before that. And
exactly
I was like,
exactly what would happen. Exactly literally. How it would happen to you. The only way you would yes. say something to somebody about that is if they had inconvenienced or harmed you to such a degree that you couldn't stop yourself from being like, do you see what this is doing?
Well, it's like,
but you wouldn't come at it otherwise.
No, I think that
it's
like,
happening just like that.
I think that if Miranda had done something that endangered herself.
Yeah.
And Carrie saw like, wow, maybe you shouldn't be operating that vehicle, or maybe you mm-hmm. shouldn't be like, I don't know what, maybe you shouldn't be doing this thing that is physically dangerous to you. But before that, I think Carrie's like, I mean, I'm at the bar with her. Like, right. I'm also drinking. Saying? What right. am I going to say?
Well, okay. I have another take on that actually.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm the adult child of an alcoholic, and I have found community around healing that idea, those concepts. And in that community, I think we would describe what Carrie's doing as like the only thing you can actually do if somebody truly has a drinking problem, which is like, let them live their fucking life. What are they going to listen literally. To you and not drink? Like, that doesn't literally. Actually even work.
Literally.
So Charlotte's working herself up trying yes. to like get up in somebody's business when the only advice anybody with experience with this would give Charlotte is to let it go. And if it literally. Bothers you, don't hang out with that person.
Literally. That's exactly. And that's you have what no you other option.
Literally.
That you are behaving this way and it's making me not want to be around you.
Yeah. But that's not even, that's just a natural consequence. It's not even like literally. A punishment. That's just
exactly
like you're,
right.
you constantly get naked every time we drink and it makes me uncomfortable. Whatever the
literally.
Thing is. Like, yeah. And so I feel like a friend who does that, it's kind of funny. Definitely made me uncomfortable. It wouldn't make me uncomfortable now. It's funny to revisit that concept. That was just me then. But no, but yeah, I mean, like with experience, you kind of get there where you're like, I mean, if she has a drinking problem, there's nothing I can do about that.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that I respect the most about your stance on all of this. And when I took you to Red Lobster in 2015 to have that conversation, I was kind of like more taken with you than I already had been, which the whole Red Lobster thing was just to get you on a lunch date while I was monogamous. You know what I mean? Like the whole thing. And you had a really full dance card. But anyway,
Story's getting random as fuck.
It got deep though, because no, people can follow. It got deep because it was so surprising to me what you said. And I'd been thinking, I'd thought about it for years until I could really even understand it more in watching you live out what you're talking about. Because I see that the ramifications of letting people live their lives is that they have a lot more respect for you when they can learn their lessons and come back to the moment and be like, wow, you really supported me through that. You know what I mean? Like, you were really just receiving me and not trying to make me something, you know? And that's what I love about, that's one of the things I love about you, is that I feel like you do a great job of this. And I see why, and you've convinced me why what Carrie did with Steve in that moment and what you're talking about with the Miranda's alcohol stuff is really a very respectful way to be a friend. It's not over-involving yourself in their process.
I mean, I think there's a lot of ways to show love. I think everybody has the way that they deal with shit, and it's all arriving from a different place. So one person's passive aggression slash like not wanting to deal with something is another person's thank you for supporting me in the way that I need to be supported.
That's
so
true.
I don't know. I think it's all variable. And I think that you really are an incredible friend. And dude, we're coming. I mean, I knew that I am in love with you. And it's because I knew at Red Lobster that you were like, your heart was in the right place, is in the right place.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm like, I mean, I'm like, let's weigh all the options. But at the end of the day, nah, I'm good. I'm going to have these Cheddar Bay biscuits and then I'm going home because you on one.
We went back to your house and smoked weed.
I don't believe that. Astro thought of the week?
You know, would you go? And I have one right after you.
Okay. Well, today, the full moon is in Leo. It's a full moon. Channy gave the strength card today, which I appreciate. For this, we're strength card for this week.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, yeah.
Full moon in Leo. Yeah. Okay, so what does it mean for a full moon in Leo? Leo's like shiny.
Leo is all about being bright. Like Leo, the sun is the planet of Leo. Like it's like the sun's full purpose is to shine and to give light. And Leo reminds us to shine and give light. And like Leo at its best is like everybody shine. We're all in full luminescence. Like Channy says this thing about like get a gold leaf facial, like it's like be your brightest, most luminescent self. And the full moon being there is like, that's where the truth is going to be. Mm. The truth is on, the moon is all about the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And the moon is shining, scalding on being seen. Mm. And like everybody, like we, no matter where you are, no matter what your sun sign is, you are always standing in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And so then to be in the light of the moon is to stand in that light of Leo too. That's my understanding of it.
Interesting. I think that she was describing this. I was listening.
Excuse me.
I was listening to The Week Ahead and Channy was describing this relationship that the full moon in Leo right now is having with Mercury in Aquarius, I guess, where like,
oh my God, absolutely.
Where the shininess of Leo is like impacting the like Aquarian like community pieces and like the coming together through whatever being an air sign, I guess.
The Aquarian communication, like
right.
Mercury, the planet of communication.
That's right.
And like,
and she was describing this relationship between like you, the performer of your life and your existence, and like the people who are engaged with that, like the audience of that.
Mm.
And that you, you know, that Leo is having this impact on the part of you that is like performing your world and and like showing up to everything shiny and like bright and like making, sharing all of it with this communication. It's like positively impacting. I related it to you and me doing this show where I was like, you know, basically just talking about the ways that we engage with the people who engage with the show. And like thinking about how we have power in that place right now because we are being given permission basically to perform our life for folks in this way, in this moment, you know? So I was heartened by that. I was really excited to do the show this week based on like that reading.
How interesting. I think of Mercury and Aquarius as being like, Aquarius is like, in my mind, stark, like very like, this is it. This is like, there's one of two options. Here's the one option. And like, here's what, like there has to be an answer. And that answer can fully, it can break every boundary. It can push every wall, but like, there is an answer. And like, or maybe it's not that there is an answer. No, I think it is. But
well, that's your lived experience for sure.
Yeah.
Of like the vast majority of Aquarians, you know, are like very fact driven and like answer oriented.
Yeah. And like that they seem to not really respect anything that is not fully
a scientific fact.
Literally.
Yeah. That's like not peer reviewed.
Literally.
Like your experience, for instance.
And they need to read the peer review. Right. Like,
and check it for edits and errors.
Literally.
Yeah. That like your lived experience couldn't be, your intuition, for instance, couldn't be something to respect as a, yeah, as exactly. a data point, because it's subjective.
Freeform subjective. Yeah. But it's interesting. Mercury being in Aquarius, and then it being, is it like Kazemi with the sun or something? Or it's like,
I don't remember.
Kazemi with,
I'm not,
the fucking moon.
She gets into anyway, it. And I'm whatever. Glad for people who know that shit, but I'm not there yet.
It lining up with that and enhancing this full moon is so interesting to me, because it is that. And what you're saying about the show, and how, what you're talking about, us reading the reviews of the show. Mm. Is that what you're talking about?
No,
or just like reading. Oh,
that's a part of
about?
It. I mean, I think that's what I'm saying. I haven't read reviews of this show, even though we ask people in the credits every single day, week, every single week, to leave us a review. I hadn't checked them in a while because, you know, you're doing other things, whatever. So it was nice, though, to get this like bouquet of really sweet words from the folks who listen to the show. And I think that I wasn't thinking about that, but I'm sure that's why today, this week of all weeks, I was in there thinking about the ways that we put out a show and people give back to us their opinion. You know what I mean? Like that relationship is certainly on my mind. And so I'm sure that's why I looked at reviews last night.
You ready to get up out of here?
Right now. Yes.
Yeah, let's go. See you. Dear Jessamine is produced by Tenderfire Media. For more on our show, follow us on Spotify and Instagram at Dear Jessamine, or head over to our website, dearjessamine.com. If you're an Apple Podcast person, you can subscribe to our show. And while you're there, write us a review. They really help us out a lot. And they give you a place to let folks know how you feel about our show.
Here's one of our reviews from Apple Podcasts written by the budding realist. Am beyond grateful for conversations that encourage and shed a light on being imperfect. Also, the authentic quality of conversations between Ash and Jessamine are courageously encouraging. E-McGlee, or EMC Glee, said, gem of a podcast. I'm so grateful to have found this podcast. Not only do I love the dynamic between Ash and Jessamine, but I've learned so much about myself and my relationships through their conversations. Listening to how they each share their truths and how the other holds space is akin to a beautiful dance. Each episode gets better and better. When I listen, I'm entertained, deeply reflective, and laughing all at the same time.
Here's our team. Kylie C. Roberts is our editor/producer. Angel Foster and Naya Williams do our social media. Jamie Leppard draws our art, and Fruit Snack plays our theme song. Montez Mickles is our director of production. Anna Rooney is my chief of staff. Amber Richardson is Ash's chief of staff. Ash Danger Phoenix is my co-host and co-producer. And I am Jessamine Stanley. And we believe that no one should be in jail for weed.
Tender Fire.
Drop page.